Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Therefore you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. May Yahweh bless His word to our hearts today. When you know that someone is good at something, you watch how they do it, and you ask them to give you a few pointers, because we learn a lot from people that have experience. I have a friend named Jason Horde. Some of you in here know him, and he's a master guitarist. He has done a lot of the recording for us with August Rain, and he has played guitar on several albums that we've put out. And he has the ability to play something after he hears it one time. I've seen him do it, no matter how difficult it is. He can come up with riffs. He can write out chord charts very easily. He's an expert. So when I am sitting beside him in the recording studio, I pay attention to how he does things on that guitar, because I'm a guitar player myself. And I've learned something new every time that I have watched him. And I put some of those things into practice in my own playing, including some guitar chords that I never had known before. Well, here in Matthew chapter 6, what we have is an expert teaching us how to pray. Yeshua had the closest communication with Yahweh. He spent a lot of time in private prayer to the Father. So if anybody knows how to pray, it's our Messiah. And we're blessed to have a direct instruction from Him. We should pay close attention to Him and listen to what He tells us. Take heed to His instruction so that we become better prayers. If we want to know how to pray, let's listen to our Master. In Matthew 6, verse 9, He says, Therefore you should pray like this. He told us, we went over this last week, He told us how not to pray, babbling like pagans, thinking we'll be heard for our many words. He tells us not to make a big show of prayer. He tells us to pray in private. He tells us to remember that Yahweh already knows what we need before we ask Him. And then He tells us how to pray. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11, there's a parallel to this text on the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples come to the Messiah and He says, or they say to Him, Master, teach us how to pray, just like John taught his disciples how to pray. And He says, well, okay, when you pray, say this. And He basically gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. So when you follow His instructions, you can know that you're praying like Yeshua prayed. And so we begin today by looking at the first line in the prayer in verse 9, which says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the King James Version rendering. The HCSB says, Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. First thing, when we pray, we're speaking to the ultimate authority of heaven and earth. I want you to think of going before a king, a great king of a kingdom. And as you approach the room, the king is sitting there on a high throne. He's got a scepter in his hand. He's got a crown on his head. That's who we're praying to. That's the idea. We're coming before the ultimate authority of heaven and earth. It's not that Yahweh is unapproachable. He's not one of those kind of kings. He's very approachable, but He listens to those who are of a humble and penitent spirit. Psalm 34 says that Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So as long as we come before Him, He's a great king, but if we come before Him in humility and repentance, recognizing that we are nothing apart from Him, He listens to us and welcomes us with arms open wide. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We have to remember when we talk to Yahweh that we're not talking to a buddy. We're talking to a great king. There's a fad in some parts of Christianity today that address Yahweh as Daddy or Daddy God. I pray this to you, Daddy God. I've heard that before. It's kind of a new hip thing in some of the more modern in the now churches. We're not the church in the now, we're the church of the past. They sometimes try to use the Aramaic word Abba to justify their use of Daddy, but it just doesn't fit culturally. Calling Yahweh Daddy in our current culture is kind of like calling your wife my old lady. You ever heard a man do that? I remember when I first started on manual labor when I was 13, 14 years old on a roofing crew. That's what all those guys called their wife, my old lady. My old lady made a good breakfast this morning. My old lady does this. My old lady does that. And I thought, I've never heard my dad call my mama my old lady. Don't think she would like that. Tisha told me never call her old lady. I've heard some men say that, and they're not really trying to sound derogatory, at least some of them aren't, but it's slang that just doesn't present your wife in a positive light. Calling Yahweh Daddy is not being respectful in our culture, because Daddy carries with it way too much modern American baggage. So Father is better, Heavenly Father is even better. The point is we must have reverent speech and respect when we approach Yahweh in prayer. Not, what's up, Daddy, but our High Father. I come before you today honoring and respecting your authority in all things. Why do we call Yahweh Father? Is He our Father? Well, not in the sense that we normally think in, as in an earthly father. A father is one who begets a son or a daughter. A mother is one who births a son or a daughter. So none of us are sons or daughters of Yahweh naturally, because we all have natural parents. Yet Yahweh is called our Father. And this is not something new that Yeshua came up with. Some theologians say that this title of Yahweh being Father and Yeshua addressing Yahweh as Father in prayer, some say that this is a radical new thing that Yeshua introduced. I read this in a book from one of my favorite theologians this week. But they say that the Hebrews never addressed Yahweh in prayer as Father, but that's just not true. Turn with me to Isaiah 63. Isaiah chapter 63. And I would encourage you to read the whole chapter tonight, but we'll just read verses 15 through 16 for this lesson. Look down from heaven and see from your lofty home, holy and beautiful, where is your zeal and your might? Your yearning and your compassion are withheld from me. As we read that verse, you see that it's a person speaking to Yahweh, asking them, where are you at? We have a lot of calamity and destruction going on in the nation. But in verse 16, it says, yet you are our Father. I made a little note beside mine, Matthew 6, verse 9, where Yeshua taught us to pray, our Father. This is a prayer from an Old Testament Israelite. Yet you are our Father, even though Abraham does not know us. In other words, Abraham's not alive anymore. And Israel doesn't recognize us. Jacob, Israel, he's dead and gone. Fell asleep with his ancestors. From ancient times, you, Yahweh, are our Father, and your name is our Redeemer. In this chapter, again, there's a longing from the people of Israel for Yahweh to save them from calamity. And these verses are a prayer that address Yahweh as our Father, looking down from heaven. And Father is used here in the sense of protector and helper and deliverer. Those attributes that an earthly father should have for his family. Protector and helper and deliverer. The sense is the one who takes care of us. In the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 10, the prophet Malachi says, don't all of us have one Father? Didn't one God or one Elohim create us? There the term Father is linked with Yahweh being the Creator. Since He created mankind and we come from His original creation, He can be called our Father. But this use can apply to everybody on the earth, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. If you're part of His creation, He created you, then in that sense, He's everybody's Father. But there's a deeper sense to Yahweh being our Father. Yeshua addressed Yahweh as Father in his prayers because Yahweh begat Yeshua. Yahweh caused Yeshua to come into existence in the womb of Miriam miraculously. He was spoken into existence by Yahweh's words. Therefore, Yahweh was and is the actual Father of Yeshua. If you sat across Yeshua from the dinner table and he asked you, "What does your dad do?" you could tell him what your dad does for a living. And if you asked him, "What does yours do?" he would say, "My dad created the heavens and the earth." This is why Yeshua is called the Son of God, according to Luke 1:30 through 35. We are not Yahweh's children by natural birth. We are not begotten by Yahweh by natural birth. But through Yahweh accepting us, based upon our faith in His only begotten Son, Yeshua, we become Yahweh's children, different from unbelievers. We become Yahweh's children by adoption. When we place faith in the actual Son of Yahweh, Yahweh counts that as righteousness and considers us to be the brothers and the sisters of Yeshua. And if we're the brother or the sister of Yeshua, then our Father is Yahweh too. That's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thing to think about. It makes me feel good. Turn to a New Testament text in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 15. For you, speaking to believers, Paul is writing to believers, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies, or the Spirit itself testifies together with our spirit, that we are Yahweh's children. And if children, also heirs. Heirs of Yahweh, God, and co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ or the Messiah, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. That's Romans 8:15 through 17. So we're heirs of Yahweh because He has adopted us into His family, and we're co-heirs, fellow heirs with Yeshua. Everything that Yeshua inherited from Yahweh, if we're attached to Him, we are co-inheritors of that. It's a beautiful thought. When a husband and wife adopt a child, that child legally becomes their own. They may not have biologically procreated that child, but they nurture and care for the child. They teach the child. They show love to the child. The child calls them father and mother. And even when the child grows up and becomes an adult, finds out that they are adopted, the bond between that child and their adopted parents remains strong, because a parent is not just someone who procreates you. A parent is someone who loves you and takes care of you and is there for you through all of the good times and the bad times in your life. I had a debate recently with a guy in, I think it was in 2019, about the virgin birth of the Messiah. And he was talking about the passages that speak of the Messiah having to be a descendant through the lineage of Yehuda, Judah. And there are many Old Testament texts that talk about that, that the Messiah that was prophesied to come would be a human being. He would be a brother Israelite, like Moses, from among the brothers. And he would descend from Judah. And he asked me, he said, how, if Yeshua was born of a virgin, how is he of the line of Judah? And there's some technicalities we can get into through the lineage of Mary. But the fact of the matter is that scripturally, when a child was adopted, they were considered to be legally a son or a daughter of that father. And Yeshua was the adopted son of Joseph. In Luke chapter 3, when it's given the genealogy all the way back to Adam, in the King James Version, it says that Yeshua was, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. And if you look up that phrase, as was supposed, in the KJV, it means by legality. It's basically saying by adoption. We are sons of Yahweh by adoption. Yeshua is actually the only begotten son of Yahweh. But when it comes to Yeshua's relationship with Joseph, he's the actual son of Yahweh, begotten by Yahweh, but yet he's the son of Joseph, meaning Joseph is his adopted father. So I asked the guy that I was debating, I said, do you understand the concept of adoption? And Yahweh blessed me right here because I had no clue that he was going to say this. And he said, yes, I'm adopted by my parents. I said, do you consider them your parents? He said, I love them with all my heart. They're my parents. And I think he caught the point. So Yahweh is our father by adoption, but that doesn't make him any less of a father to us. He loves us just as much as he loves his only begotten son. He takes care of us. He calls us his sons and daughters. Us believers have a relationship with him in a way that unbelievers do not. He adopted us. Therefore, he is our father, which art in heaven. So Yeshua tells us to pray our Father in heaven, and then he says, your name be honored as holy, there in Matthew chapter 6. Now, that's not a declaration that the Father's name is holy. That's not what that means. It's not a declaration that we're saying his name is holy. What that is in Matthew 6 is a petition. It's a request. This is a prayer, and that's a prayer request. When we say, hallowed be thy name, that kind of sounds like a declaration, but your name be honored as holy is a little bit better translation. What it is we are asking in the prayer, Yahweh, we pray that your name is honored as holy, or your name is honored as sacred. It's important that we understand that. We are to pray that the Father's name is regarded and honored and revered and treated as set apart as holy or as sacred. Now, this is where the doctrine of the sacred name comes from. It's not a made-up doctrine. It's right here in Matthew 6, verse 9. It stems from recognizing that our Father has a name, and it is to be hallowed, or it is to be held as sacred. Hallowed name or sacred name is synonymous. It is His name for a reason. And the reason is this. The name Yahweh, when you look at it in Hebrew, it means the self-existent one that causes everything to be or happen. Every time we speak Yahweh, 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 when we sing Yahweh, when we tell somebody about the name Yahweh, we are proclaiming that He alone is self-existent and He alone is in control. He has the freest will of any person in the heavens and the earth. Yahweh does what He wants to in heaven and with the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stop Him. So the sacred name, I want to talk a little bit about this now. The sacred name is more than just the literal name, Yahweh, but it is not less than the name Yahweh. The sacred name is more than the literal name Yahweh, but it is not less than the name Yahweh. I always cringe when I hear Christians, and now it's becoming popular even in the Torah observant movement, where people are getting away from the doctrine of the sacred name, and I hear them say this line, I always cringe, well, name just means authority. That is incorrect. That is not right. From a name comes authority, but name does not just mean authority. You know what it means? It means an actual name, like Matthew or Tisha or Frankie or TJ or Kyle. It means an actual name. I did a job not long ago where I was calling this guy Ray for most of the job. We were out there for about an hour, so I'd probably say 40 minutes of the job, I was calling him Ray. And finally, when we were settling up and he was paying me for the job, we were there on his driveway, and I said, Ray, let me get your signature. And he said, you keep calling me Ray. He said, but my name is Roy. And we both laughed, and I apologized. I told him I was sorry. I did not have any intention of disrespecting him. So when he corrected me, I changed. Let me ask you a question. Would it have been disrespectful, after he told me that, for me to just keep calling him Ray? Absolutely. How would it not have been? It would have been very disrespectful. It would have been a total jerk move for me to just say, I don't care. To me, you're Ray. He probably would have gotten mad at me at that point. May not wanted to pay me my money. But out of respect for a human being now, out of respect for a human being, I corrected my wrong when he told me that I was mistaken. I made the correction. And if we treat our fellow humans this way, and I think everybody in here would have done the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry, Roy. If we treat our fellow humans this way, how much more should we revere and respect the Almighty? When we find out that our Father's name is not Lord or God or even Jehovah, why would we continue to use those as substitutes for His name? I'm not saying we can't call Yahweh titles. Yahweh is called Elohim and Adonai hundreds of times in the Hebrew Old Testament. So it's fine to call Yahweh titles. In English, that will be God and Lord or Almighty and Master, however you want to translate those the best you see fit into English. But why would we continue to substitute those words for His name when we find out that He has a name and that it means something and that He told Moses in Exodus 3 verse 15, "This is my name, Olam, forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation." It's His memorial. It's how He wants to be remembered. If you get your wife a gift for her birthday or anniversary, you get her something that she likes. I remember in the younger years of my marriage, sometimes I would accidentally get her something that I liked. And I had to learn. We all have to learn, right? Marriage is a learning process. But we get her something that she likes. If she doesn't like roses, but she would rather have tulips or irises, we don't show up with roses when we know that she doesn't like roses. Why would we substitute our Creator's name when He says, "This is my memorial, it's how I want to be remembered in every generation"? If you look up the word name in the Bible, Shem in Hebrew or Onoma in Greek, you'll see that it's used hundreds of times in reference to the actual name of a person, place, or thing. Let me give you a couple examples in Genesis. Genesis 2 mentions the names of rivers, and it says the name of the first is Gihon, and the name of the second is Hiddekel. It gives actual names after it says this is their name. Genesis 3 says Adam called his wife's name Eve, an actual name. Genesis 5 says Adam had a son and called his name Seth. And I could go on and on just in the book of Genesis and show you name means an actual name, an appellation that you refer to somebody as. It's used over and over like this in the Bible. And yet some people want to say that name just means authority in order to make the actual holy name of the Creator not that important. A name is an actual word. This is very important. A name is an actual word. Behind that word is a person. Behind that person is character. And behind that character is authority. So yes, the name Yahweh carries authority. Psalms says the name Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. But the strong tower of authority, character, person is in an actual name. You cannot have the authority without having the name. The name means something. When I deposit a check at the bank, I write my signature on the back of the check. I have to, because it authorizes that I'm the one that received the check. That's my name. That's what I write. I don't write somebody else's name. I don't write a nickname. I write my name. They ask to see my ID. So they can do what? Not just look at my picture, look at my name. That's a big part of how I'm identified. I don't get mad at them when they ask to see my ID and say, "That's just authority. It just means authority. It's not that big of a deal." No. I write my name out, give them my ID. It's such a common practice, I don't see why people want to argue about what a name is. The name Yahweh is to be hallowed. It is to be honored as holy. In our society and our culture, for the most part, that has been forgotten. Number one, Christians don't normally even use the name Yahweh in their speech. They don't. That's wrong. They substitute it for God and Lord. I understand if someone does not know But there are many that do know and they still refuse to use the name Yahweh. There are many learned men. You pick up any Bible dictionary at a Christian bookstore or however you get it now. Lifeway shut down their stores. But however you want to get a Bible dictionary or encyclopedia, you get one and you'll find that scholars use the name Yahweh all through that dictionary encyclopedia. It's used in many English versions of our Bible now, praise Yahweh. In the original HCSB, which I have, it's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. Exodus 3:15 is one. The Lexham English Bible, which is put out by the same people that do the Bible Works program, which is the one that a lot of the scholars use. The Lexham English Bible uses Yahweh every single time it's supposed to be used in the Old Testament. The World English Bible, which is based on the 1901 American Standard Version, uses Yahweh all through the Old Testament thousands of times. The Rotherham Emphasized Bible uses the name Yahweh all through it. I think the Old Jerusalem Bible, which is an old Catholic Bible, they even use the name Yahweh throughout the Old Testament. So people are becoming woke. That was a bad joke. People are waking up to the understanding that our Creator has a name, and yet they're still choosing not to use that name. That's a sin. We substitute the name Yahweh for God and Lord. Number two, not only do we do that, but people use the word God as a slang word or a curse word. And I understand that God is not our Creator's name. But in people's minds, when they think of capital G-O-D, they're thinking of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and they use it as a slang, oh my God, or they use it as a curse word, G-D, and that's not righteous. That's appalling. There is no respect for the Creator. That is at the very top of why we're cursed as a nation. One of the Ten Commandments has to do with honoring the name of Yahweh. If I sat you down and gave you a piece of paper and put 10 slots in it and we were going to start up a nation and I told you I want 10 main rules that we have to abide by, would you pick to honor the name of Yahweh as one of the rules? Well, the Creator did. He said, do not take my name in vain. And the most literal meaning of that is do not swear falsely by my name. Do not make an oath and use my name and then not keep it. But there's many branches off of that third commandment. And that's really where it all begins. It's in the top 10. If we cannot honor His name, how in the world are we going to honor anything else that comes out of His mouth? Our prayers, when we pray, we should ask, Yahweh, may Your name be honored as holy in my life, in my family's life, in my city's life, in my nation's life. May Your name be honored as holy. That's how we should pray. That is the beginning of something beautiful. Once a person begins to respect Yahweh, they will respect what He says. Once they acknowledge that He is the sovereign King, which the name Yahweh proclaims His sovereignty and His free will. And once a person acknowledges that and they really see it, they'll behave differently. He calls the shots. He can set someone up, tear someone down. People will live differently, but they first have to honor Yahweh's name as holy. I was scrolling through YouTube one time and I came across a video where there was a news anchor that was trying to console the nation on television in a time of turmoil. And so I knew that I had saw this video before, so I went and looked it up this week. And he was talking about a school shooting in California. I think it might have been 2018. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember. But it was fairly recent. And he was rightfully, he was mourning the lives, 12 lives that were stolen by this act of madness. And he said, on camera, he said, we've got to come together and we've got to love one another. But then he began to mock those who offered their prayers for the families of the victims. Now, I would agree that we need to do more than pray. But I would never mock somebody if I was going through something, a death in my family or a sickness, and somebody texted me and said, I'm praying for you. I would never mock that. I would love for somebody to pray for me. Then this news anchor said, we can just do the right things and everything will be better. And he said, and I quote, and I picked this up today, and it's an exact quote. He said, you do not need help from above. It's within us. Nope. Error detected. This is the problem. People are trying to fix problems without the problem fixer. People are trying to make things better while ignoring the instructions that Yahweh has given us. They do not hallow His name, and therefore everything that branches out of that is destructive. If anything is going to be fixed in our nation, it will begin with honoring the Father's name as holy. Proclaiming it, declaring it, and living a righteous life that shows forth that you do not take that name in vain. That's one way that we take His name in vain. If we speak His name, if we proclaim His name, we sing His name, then we leave this building, it's just a building, we leave this building and we don't live according to His commandments, we are speaking His name in vain. Now we see that for our nation. It's always easier to see other people's problems and talk about what we would do to fix them, but I asked myself, I reevaluated myself today, how am I dishonoring or not honoring or not hallowing Yahweh's name in my life? Do you honor Yahweh's name as holy in your life? It's more than just speaking His name, brothers and sisters. It's not less than it, but it's more than it. You just speak His name doesn't mean anything about your salvation. It's got to be way down deep inside. Up here in your mind and in your heart. You got to really believe it. Honoring His name means we live every day by His commandments. His name, character, and authority should be number one in our life. What He says should mean the most. We should pray, may Your name be honored as holy. We have a blessing to know the name of Yahweh. We're blessed to know that. I think sometimes we sing so much in the name of Yahweh and we speak so much in the name of Yahweh, we begin to take it for granted. And I think that maybe some of that tradition of not saying it may have stemmed originally from not wanting to take His name for granted. But then it just snowballed and it got to where the people of Israel didn't speak His name but once a year. And now, you know, people in Israel, in the land of Israel, old Israel, they won't say His name. And so that's not right. That's not right because Yahweh says, call on my name, praise my name, declare my name. It's so holy that it needs to be said. But we shouldn't take it ever take it for granted. It is powerful. There is power in His name, person, character, authority. So this is how we're to start when we pray. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be honored as holy. We begin by bowing in reverence to our Father. We ask that His name be honored as holy in our life and the lives of others. We do not begin our prayer by asking Him for what we want or even for what we need. We begin by showing Him honor. We must learn to make honoring the Father our primary goal. Prayer is not a slot that we put money into in order to get a prize out. It is a time of reverence. It is a time of respect. Before we ever begin to humbly ask for our needs, which is fine, we got to first come before Him as a great King and honor Him and hallow His name.